Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Slow, Immaculate, and Ripley.
I'd like to start out today with a movie which has a title which one might not expect in this day and age. The movie is called Slow. Of course, we live in a time when most movies are exceedingly fast. What they call the ASL, the average shot length, has just been getting faster and faster for many years. And of course, there are many exceptions to that. And in recent years, there's been a kind of fashion among some people who love cinema in what's called slow cinema, which is deliberately seeking out movies that last really long and go very slowly. And that's kind of a specialized taste. And there are some very, very great movies that have that kind of a slow attitude toward everything. Here we have a movie which is not especially slow, but it is called Slow. And I have to say, it's a really nice movie. I really did like it a lot. It's very, very engaging to watch. So the title really doesn't have a whole lot in common with slowness. The main character is a dancer, and her name, oh, by the way, I should mention this is a Lithuanian film. It's actually an international co-production, but it's basically Lithuanian, and it was written and directed by Maria Kaftaradze, who I think is a very good talent. So our main character is Elena, and she is a young woman who is a dance instructor, and she is coaching a group of other young women who are about to go off and participate in an event somewhere. And the dancing that she's teaching them is more, a little bit, maybe more like exercise than you know, what we think of as formal dancing. But, you know, it's real dance, and later on we see a bit of this taking place, so that's very nice. Anyway, she is a dance instructor. And these young people who she is coaching in dance are deaf, group of deaf young women. So she is not deaf, and she does not know sign language, so she is going to have an interpreter, and so that is how our other main character comes into the film, Dovidas. So we have the dancer, whose name is Elena, and we have the sign language interpreter, whose name is Dovidas. It turns out his brother, he has a deaf brother, and that's how he happens to know sign language. He himself is not deaf. And as one might expect in a movie, Elena and Dovidas develop a relationship. And it really looks like it's moving toward a pretty conventional movie-type romance, and that's very sweet. However, fairly early in the film, Dovidas brings a bit of a surprise on Elena, and a surprise on us too. He informs her, when it looks like they're getting close to a kiss at one point, that he is asexual. He just has never felt any kind of sexual urges. And she's surprised by that. I was surprised by that. It's not something you run across in the movies all that much these days. So how is this going to complicate their relationship? Well, not surprisingly, it does complicate the relationship, but they keep on being friends, and they keep on kind of having a semi-romantic and very platonic interactions between the two of them. So that is the basic situation of this movie, which for some reason, known mainly to writer-director Maria Taraza, is called Slow. The movie has some very nice sort of dancing in it. It has some very nice use of music in it. And it has some lovely sign language movement in it. I have noticed this before over my years of watching movies. When you just put the camera head on into somebody who is doing some graceful sign language interpreting, it can look quite lovely. It can be very dance-like itself. And that I would argue, is one of the more interesting qualities of this movie. It has both this dance-like component, both in the dance that Elena is teaching to others and doing herself from time to time. Also, you have the sign language interpretation. And again, the moments in that department that are the most striking are when the camera simply looks straight on at Dovidas and he does some sign language interpreting, perhaps of a song. And it's just quite beautiful to watch, quite lovely. Now, of course, they have, and especially Elena has other relationships other than her relationship with Davidas, which is complicated by his asexuality. His asexuality turns out to be quite sincere, but a little bit more complicated also than one might have expected. So there are interesting little twists along the way in that direction. But it's just a really, really interesting and enjoyable and romantic and slightly unconventional movie. I would have to call it basically an unconventional romance. And it has all kinds of elements in it that we find in a lot of romantic movies these days. It's not a comedy, but it's not exactly a heavy drama either. It's sort of a light romantic drama. But to repeat one more time, it's just enjoyable to watch. And I had a nice time watching it. And I really recommend it. Certainly anybody who is interested in the world of sign language, in the world of deafness and its interaction with people who can hear, all that sort of thing. The movie deals with these things in light ways. And again, it's mostly a romance, but it deals with those things and they lend another dimension of interest to the movie. Slow, a nice movie and not particularly slow. So my second movie today, by the way, all three of today's movies for no particular reason have one word titles. Second movie is Immaculate. And, oh, this film is not especially slow. And whereas the movie Slow is reasonably subtle most of the time in most ways, Immaculate is the total opposite of subtle. And for a movie called Immaculate, it sure does have a lot of blood and gore in it. So there's a warning for you. This is a horror movie, and it is a horror movie that really delivers on all of the kind of the very nasty stuff that some people really look for in horror movies. I like horror movies. I did find Immaculate a bit over the top, a bit, shall we say, non-immaculate. But it's reasonably well done, and it certainly has a good star. Sydney Sweeney stars in this. Sydney Sweeney, who really, really, really fascinated me in what I think is maybe last year's very, very best film, the movie called Reality, where Sydney Sweeney played Reality Winner, the real-life young woman who leaked some government secrets. And it's just a fascinating movie. And if you haven't caught that yet, folks, good thing to catch up with, Reality from 2023. Sydney Sweeney stars in that. She's also stars in Immaculate, which is a really opposite kind of movie. So here's what happens. The very beginning of Immaculate, again, this is a horror movie, so it starts letting us know that it is a horror movie right in its opening moments. We have a young woman who is trying to escape from some great, big, formidable, old-looking building with grounds and all of that. It's really scary, it's really dark, and she is being pursued by what appear to be four extremely dangerous-looking nuns. Yes, the title of this movie is Immaculate, and it has lots of nuns in it. So this young woman who is trying to escape from this place with the nuns after her, does she escape? I won't give it away, even though we're talking about the first couple of minutes of the movie, but we then get into our main story after the opening titles. And that is when we meet our main character, whose name is Cecilia. And she is a young woman, a young American woman, and for reasons that are sort of explained as the movie proceeds, she is now about to enter a convent in Italy, a rural convent, and yes, it's that building we saw at the beginning of the film. Anyway, she arrives, and she is welcomed, and she is just about to take her vows, and early in the movie, she does take her vows. She's always wanted to be a nun. We find out that she had a very nearly fatal accident when she was much, much younger, and she feels that God saved her for some reason. And so she has decided maybe that reason was that she should become a nun. So she's now taking her vows in this place that we already have reason to fear. And once she is in there, she gets to meet all kinds of other people, her fellow sisters, the people who run the monastery, the convent. I don't want to give spoilers here, but a little way into the movie, a very surprising twist comes, which I have to reveal, which is that Sister Cecilia, as she now is, she finds out that she is pregnant. And this is impossible because she has never had sex. And, oh, she is being questioned very, very sternly by the higher-ups in this convent, not only the Mother Superior and the other senior nuns, but the priest, whose name is Father Tedeschi, the guy above him, they're all, the cardinal, they're all questioning Cecilia. Oh, you must have had congress with a man. But she hasn't, and then they realize that they are going to believe her because this turns out to be all part of an experiment that they are conducting, and it involves bringing Jesus back to the earth through the body of this very unwilling young woman. So, if this sounds a little bit like a sort of a reverse twist on Rosemary's Baby, oh, it is so exactly that. Rosemary's Baby, of course, one of the great movies, based on a very fine novel by Ira Levin, a great, great movie directed by Roman Polanski many years ago, is all about a coven of witches who are going to bring Satan back to Earth by impregnating a young woman with Satan's seed. Certainly a very, very great film. So here we have people who are wanting to impregnate a young woman with the seed of Jesus and bring him back into enter Earth. However, these people who are doing this, the people at the convent, both the male and female higher-ups, are obviously so bad and so evil and so self-involved that we cannot trust them for one single minute. So we know that something very strange is, in fact, going on here. The movie, by the way, I mentioned Rosemary's Baby, was written by Ira Levin. He also wrote a very good novel, made it into a good movie, called The Boys from Brazil, which is about cloning, about putting somebody's DNA into another person and cloning. So, okay, that's also going on in this movie. If Ira Levin were still with us, he really ought to deserve some credits in the credits of this movie. In any case, to repeat, Immaculate is a very, very violent movie. It has all kinds of in-your-face horror movie gore, not all the way through, but the scenes that include that include it very, very much. So everybody should beware of that. That said, it's a well-made horror movie. If this is the sort of thing you like, you will like this thing. It delivers. And now I'd like to do something a little bit unusual. Normally I talk about feature films, which have just come out. Today I would like to talk a little bit about a miniseries, and it is the miniseries Ripley. And anyone not familiar with this should really become familiar with it because it is absolutely brilliant. It is 8 episodes, it is streaming, and it is sensational. Now, interestingly, by total coincidence, I recently finished reading the so-called Ripleyad. This is a series of 5 novels by the very fine writer Patricia Highsmith, which all deal with this main character named Tom Ripley, who is a young man. He grows older as the novels proceed, who is, shall we say, very given to frauds and hoaxes and self-interested manipulations of other people. He is the main character of all 5 of these Ripley novels. And he is definitely the main character of the miniseries Ripley. Now, so far, there is just, I guess, is the first season of what I hope will be many seasons of the miniseries, and it is based on the first of the Highsmith novels called The Talented Mr. Ripley. And it stars the very fine actor Andrew Scott, and he is just such a good actor. He stars as Tom Ripley, and the movie takes place largely in Italy, where he lives during most of the story. And here's what makes it a great, great miniseries. First, it is very, very well written, really well written. Secondly, it is very, very well acted, mainly by Andrew Scott, but Dakota Fanning is in it. She's fine. Johnny Flynn is in it. He's fine. But the main thing and the above all thing in this movie is the way, or this miniseries, is the way it's directed and the way it is photographed. It is written and directed by Steven Zaillian, who has never done anything up to this sensationally high level before, in my opinion. He's been involved with a lot of movies. One of them is what I regard as Steven Spielberg's best movie, Schindler's List. He's done a lot of screenwriting. He's done some movie directing. But my gosh, I wasn't prepared for the sheer brilliance of this miniseries. It is sensational. And a whole lot of the credit for that also goes to the cinematographer Robert Elswit. Now, Elswit has done the cinematography for a lot of movies and TV shows in his time. Some of his work include quite a lot of work with Paul Thomas Anderson. He did done some beautiful black and white work in the past, for example, George Clooney's movie Good Night and Good Luck, and he has photographed Ripley entirely in black and white. Now, black and white is not fashionable among younger folks today. Maybe it's not fashionable among older folks either, but my gosh, this movie has some of the most gorgeous and sumptuous and simply flat out beautiful black and white cinematography, or cinematography period, that I have ever seen. It is an unbelievably beautiful movie to look at. The textures, the shades of white and black and gray, everything, the lighting is so superbly done. I just talked about a movie called Immaculate. I will say this movie is immaculately photographed, and photographed in a way that is entirely in keeping with the subject matter. It's not a really dark, miniseries. It's, you know, it's dark in its moods. Ripley is not a nice guy. He's not a good guy. Which is to say, very often he is nice and good, but he's always doing things that are manipulating other people. And yes, there is some murder that comes up along the way as well. And Ripley is responsible for that. So yeah, it's got a sort of a dark theme, but it is not a heavy or ponderous dark theme. And the cinematography is exactly in tune with that. It gives us precisely the mood of ominousness and threatening things. And you can never be quite sure what's going to happen next, even as you have these wonderful actors going through and just taking us through and guiding us through this fascinating story. Even though I have read that novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley, the first of the Ripleyad, I've read it more than once, and I know it really well. And I've read all the novels in the Ripleyad, and even I was just in suspense and wondering what would happen next and just enjoying this every step of the way. So I don't usually deal with TV miniseries, but Ripley is an exception. Stephen Zalian, Robert Elswit deserve tremendous credit for all this. So does Andrew Scott. It's terrific, terrific work. And if you're looking for some good TV to watch, give a shot to Ripley. It is absolutely sensational. And that is, I hope, my fairly varied story this week.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.